Lavarne,
I'll put you on the stack. We're going to follow a stack now. Ken, you're next.
Okay, I'm speaking to this, we're not asking questions of anybody, right? We're just speaking on it. The thing is, I don't feel people get it. It's sort of like you say, oh, my books are balanced because I just got a new credit card from Bank of America. So anybody I owed money, I just put it on the credit card, and I put that in a drawer, and I forget about it. And our credit card here has been extending the fund drive. We did 93 days last year, 93 days. But in a period between 2002 and 2006, we did 40 days. We're more than double the number of fund drive days. If we try to operate at a level of $3 million, we're going to go over 100 days. It is an improper way to operate. And it's also unreliable to operate where we keep getting last-minute updates, where somebody says, well, we just have to adjust that. We're going to add another, I just found another $50,000. Financial numbers are going to bounce around and something's going to be found here and there and so forth. At a certain point in time, you stop and you say there's going to be fluctuations in this because of minor adjustments. You don't want to run a budget down to the last hair that we're going to spend every cent that we might make. You're going to be much better off being pessimistic on the income and tighter on the staff. I'm sorry, I didn't get a quotable phrase there. We have to be more conservative. If we start getting a higher yield per hour on our fund drive and we're making lots of money, we should split it by, A, cutting down our fund drives, and then, B, readjusting our expenses or our expenditures or investing in the future. Right now, we're running irresponsibly like we were living on credit cards, and the credit card we're using is extending the fund drive. We need more money, we extend the fund drive. It's criminal. It's really criminal. And we have to start cracking down on it now. And I just don't think it's fiscally responsible to, when you look at all of the graphs showing income over the years, showing lower support from the listeners, to say, well, that's going to change because I think it's going to change. It's magical thinking, and I wish it worked, and it can work for yourself, but it doesn't work in the real world.
Okay. Paul, you're next.
Okay. I know that we had a thing where the auditors did something amusing, where the auditors were coming in and counting the unfulfilled pledges as assets, as if we were a company that was making widgets of some sort. And if the company, ships 1,000 widgets to somebody, they have to pay for it. And if they don't, you have the option of suing them and forcing them to pay for that. So in those sorts of businesses, when somebody owes you money for that, you have it on the books as an asset. However, with pledges, it's not like that because we can't force anybody to pay a pledge. And as time goes by, the likelihood of the pledge being paid gets less. Is this sort of what Lavarne is talking about here with KPFK too?
Okay. Lavarne is next on the stack. Then I'm going to call on myself. Go ahead, Lavarne.
Okay. Our Paul would know about this because this is what happened with the revenue for WBAI, the serious hit last year for WBAI revenue. What the auditor does at the end of the year, which is what most companies do, is that they estimate if you have pledges. If you have, like, we have pledge receivables. So the drive that will be held, like, in August, all of those pledges have not come in. All the pledges will not have come in for even the May drive. So what you do is they usually do a test to determine. They'll look at a period of time after the end of the year. Say maybe, I don't know, we did, like, 6 weeks, 2 months, to see exactly how much of those pledges come in over that period of time. So they look at those numbers and they say, okay, of all these outstanding pledges, so therefore we can actually count a certain amount of that as revenue. Because basically in revenue recognition, you can actually recognize revenue once you have this promise written. Well, with us, it's like a pledge receivable you can actually recognize that, but you have to do a test to really determine that that revenue will come in. So when the audit was done in the prior year, it showed that the test they did, or the testing that was done, was not correct. They overestimated it by this $200,000. So therefore, you have to make that adjustment in the next year. So they made it in the month of September for KPFK, and that was $202,000 for pledges receivable and another $37,900 for doubtful accounts. So if you look at the listener support revenue that for KPFK in the month of September was actually $72,463.73. So all I'm saying is that when you start comparing revenue to revenue, you're not projecting that it was wrong again. So if you would, so if you want to compare it, you just add the $72,000 back in to compare year over year before the adjustment for 2011 and 2010. That's all I'm saying. You just have to recognize that fact. So Ken's point that, you know, it should be lower, you know, that's a valid point. But in the meantime, you know, 6 months have passed by. Revenue has come in. We can't throw that revenue out the door. We have it. We've recognized it. So now we're at the point, and I sent you the collection. We're at the point to determine, you know, do you want to go still with the $3 million, as Tracy said, or do you want to take it down some? I mean, that's the question. But and if you want to compare it, you have to compare the listener support before the adjustment.
Fair enough. Okay, have we I had myself on the stack, so I'm just going to ask a question, which is I'm looking at the actuals on community events for the previous years, and I have 2009 at $54,000. I have 2010 at $49,000. I have 2011 proposed at $37,000. And I have Ken proposing to cut it to $23,000, saying that $37,000 is speculative. So my question is, why is it speculative since KPFK was able to meet those numbers in previous years and, in fact, surpass them?
I can speak to that, Tracy.
Okay.
I don't know about 2009, but 2010, yes, it says here that we made $49,000. We spent $48,000 in order to get that $1,000. We don't think this is a good business plan.
According to this document, you spent $28,000. Where are you getting your numbers from?
Well, wait, okay. Which line are you looking at for?
Community event expenses, number 28.
On which budget? On LaVarne's budget?
KPFA budget, 2011R. And
okay.
In 2009, you spent $21,000 to make 54.
28. I don't see community events. I see community events, line 12.
That's revenue. And then 28 is expenses.
I'm confused.
Line 28 is expenses.
What are you confused about?
First of all, this is the budget. We're talking about last year.
Yes, it says FY29 actual. Those numbers are column W.
Okay, there we go. Column W, 40. Let me.
Is in column AA.
Yeah. Okay, so FY2000 tells actual. Let me look this up. Let me look this up, because I don't know where that 49,000 figure came from, actually.
Okay.
Let me look it up.
Based on these numbers, I don't see that as being a necessary cut, but I'm willing to listen.
Yeah, because we've looked at this, and basically, you know, for all the whatever income, it was matched by expenses. I'll have to dig. I'll have to dig a bit to find that. I'm trying.
Okay.
think where I can put my hands on
okay.
that.
Well, that's, you know, take a second, can do that. That's fine. I'm just leaving that out there as a question. For
yeah.
everybody else in the group, is there anyone who hasn't spoken about the issue of whether we're going to stick with the 3 million listener revenue or look at a pretty substantial cut down to somewhere in the vicinity of 2.5 to 2.7? Is there anyone who hasn't spoken on that who wants to?
This is Bill.
Yes, Bill.
You know, I guess I see LaVarne's point. It makes sense for the auditor to adjust the figures if the historical fulfillment rate's been lower than what they were projecting. But so that's one of the actuals were adjusted for FY 2010. But I don't understand why we'd expect a higher fulfillment rate this year. I mean, that's what I gather from the FY 2011 budget update, 3,074,000 as opposed to FY 2010 actual of 2.5 million
okay.
in listener support.
Well,
so.
Well, I have actually a point of information to ask, which is KPFK has, in the next 6 months, I know one major fund drive coming up in May, and then what is your summer fundraising schedule as planned? In other words, how many more days of fundraising will there be until we get to September 30th with the current plan? LaVarne, you?
Oh, it's in I do know. They have one in August. I think it's 13 days. And if you look, then they have the one in May. So that's what the plan is now.
Which is like 17 days. Okay.
Okay. Let me. I'm pulling it up. I was going.
Give or take, it's like an almost 3 week fund drive.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Well, listener revenue to date, just to give us some numbers to work with, is $1.7 million in 6 months. So what we would be looking at is two more fund drives, one long and one short. Probably the long fund drive will bring in about $750. I think that's conservative. They usually do in May. Maybe $650, $700. And the summer fund drive should bring in, what, $400,000?
I'm sorry, Tracy, LaVarne.
Yeah.
I had a point of information. I got lost for a
second. So just to give us some perspective, to get from 1.7 to 3 million suggests that those two fund drives together would make about $1.2 million to make that number realistic. If we go down to 2.7 or 2.8, then we're suggesting that those two fund drives together will make about $1 million. And maybe that will help us to figure out what the realistic number is.
Point of information on that?
Yes, go ahead, Ken.
So, LaVarne, your statement is, I don't think we were able to get a schedule. I don't know how you got it, but you're saying that KPFK management is not planning to do a December mini fund drive.
That's next year, Ken.
Well,
only
about
end of September.
All right, I understand that. Okay. All right, well, then the other it's not a point of information, so I'll get off the stack. I mean, I've calculated we make $36,000 a day on the average.
That's high, Ken.
That's high? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, according to this, if it's 17 and 13, let's just do some raw numbers here. Because we're only talking about a six-month budget, and again, I think some of these issues may be more applicable to the full-year budget for next year than they may be to this short-term budget. But okay, 17 plus 13. That suggests that we have 30 days of additional fundraising within this six-month period of time. If we make, conservatively, $30,000 on each of those days, that's $900,000. And that suggests that a conservative budgetary estimate is in the vicinity of 2.7 to 2.8 in listener revenue. If we want to be optimistic and say that some days we're going to make $35,000, then we may be able to get closer to the $3 million figure. But given the fundraising schedule for the next 6 months, being conservative, we get to about 2.7, 2.8. Realistic.
Barnes?
Well, who goes first, LaVarne or Kim? I'd like to be on the stack.
Point of information.
I also heard Ken. Who is the point of information? Is that Barbara?
No.
No, it's LaVarne.
Kim was.
No,
okay.
I want to be on the stack.
All right. This conversation is being really dominated by some people. I just want us to be aware of that. I think there's other people listening or having a hard time getting a word in edgewise. But we're going to have LaVarne's point of information, then we'll go to Kim on the stack and Ken on the stack.
The point of information, I would like to ask if you received a file that says KPFK, MEMS's Collection Statistics, 110331.
Yes. We did.
Okay. So if you look at that, then you can get an idea in terms of what has happened in the past and what we can reasonably project for what you'd like to put in a budget for the rest of the year.
All right. Kim, you were next.
First of all, I'm in the middle of a meeting. I can't review that, LaVarne, and I can't study it, and so that's not, helpful. I understand Tracy's calculations, and that kind of is on the same page as what Ken is suggesting. So obviously, I think that's supportive of our position. Number one and number two, we're still cutting it very close to the edge of just making the budget, not having any surplus, not having any extras, and being forced to run more fund drives if it doesn't work out.
Okay, Ken, you are next, I believe. Ken? No?
I was on mute. I apologize. I concur with Tracy's practical observation, 30 days of fund drive, $30,000 a day, $900,000. It's very simple to understand. It's how do we get through the next 9 months? And, again, trying to put a budget where we're supporting a two-story house with a fancy stairways and marble floors is out of the question. We have to come back down to the reality of what we're getting. And once we start to build up our listenership, and maybe the economy turns around, then we can start getting a little more largesse with our expenses. We have to anticipate the reality of what we're going to collect and cut our overhead.
Okay, so let me ask a point of information in terms of the LA people. Is $30,000 a day on average a reasonable estimate for your fund drives, or in general do you do a bit better than that? Because I want to use a real number.
They go up and down. They really go up and down every day, and they do decline after, a week or two.
How much did you make in your last fund drive? Not the December, because I know that did very well.
Well,
but the one before that.
The one before that,
did you make a day?
342,000 plus under goal.
Okay, what was the goal and how many days did you fundraise?
Okay, let me, I'd have to look that up somewhere else.
LaVarne, do you know that?
Yes, I do. Okay, the October fund drive, the collections report that I sent out, the pledges were $707,000. I believe the goal was
four.
But so far, they've collected 77% of that for the October
fund.
Okay,
and how many days?
So the other point on the fundraising is that the funds for each drive just doesn't stop after a month or two. You still have, for example, with the December drive, the following month, they collected $32,000.
Okay. So, LaVarne, I have a question for you. So $770,000 was pledged, and you have a fulfillment rate of about 80%.
Well, that's your point.
I just want to come back to math.
Okay.
That means that fund drive reflected $616,000 in, real money, and that was, I presume, about 17 days of fundraising? Is that correct, or was it a bit more than that?
I think more.
It,
19 days. Okay, let's just get a number out of that, and that number is about $32,000. So that's what we're doing on average in a day in a fund drive that didn't go, like, spectacularly well. And if we take that out to 30 more days of fundraising, then on average, yeah, we're at about $975,000, which is not so different from the figure that I was suggesting. So it seems to me that the realistic budget figure for listener support is around 2.8. If we want to go to $3,025,000, we're being optimistic that a couple extra $100,000 are going to happen. And it sounds to me like we don't really have a reason to be that optimistic. We're just hoping. So I would like to sort of throw out there that I think maybe the number that we have to work with is 2.8. And I'm happy to leave community events as it is, but I think the correct number might be 2.8. How do people feel about that?
This is LaVarne. That's fine. That's fine. Sounds good.
Bill.
It does mean some cuts, but it's not 2.5 either. It's a smaller amount to cut. Bill, go ahead.
What you said sounds reasonable to me.
Yeah.
I'm agreeable, Tracy.
Okay, and again, this is a 6-month budget, so if it turns out that they go gangbusters, then maybe it needs to be reassessed.
And conversely, if it goes the other way, I'll be monitoring it either way.
Yes. Yes, and if we can't make that level, then we got to do something about next year.
Right.
But I think that it avoids sort of making preemptive cuts on income that we don't know that we're not going to make. Okay. Well, not hearing anybody screaming at me too loud, I think I'm going to jump into the breach and offer that as a motion. For the revenue side of the budget.
I prefer not to vote until we get to the bottom line, but...
Okay.
I concur, and I think we should vote on it because I don't want us jiggling this back and forth. If somebody gets upset about having to do the cuts, and they say, well, maybe we can make 2.9 instead of 2.8.
Okay.
We should have consensus on 2.8.
Calm down, guys.
And move forward.
Okay. So the procedural thing is we're going to move to the expenses side of the ledger. The agreement is that we're going to use 2.8 in the listener category. In the listener support category. We're not going to make any changes. I'm going to try to make that number work. Are there any objections to that proposal?
Well, could I get wording for that, exact wording? So we can...
Yes, you can. I will type it up and I will send it to you right now. Okay. If anybody wants to fill up space while I'm typing, feel free.
Well, yeah, I'm a little confused what we're doing. I think what we're doing is not voting on this figure right now, but we're going to deal with the whole thing.
Yeah, what we're doing is trying to agree as a group that we think that's a good place for the revenue figure that we're going to move to the expenses side, assuming that that's what we have on top.
Okay.
This is Bill.
And if nobody gets them.
Well, while we're kind of filling time, I kind of agree with what I believe it was Ken said earlier, too, that if we do better than whatever we come up with, that the money should be put aside to help us get ahead on some stuff. We need to rebuild our reserves, for example. We're so vulnerable right now to any unpredicted expenses. Just think about what happened to WPFW last year with their transmitter and, you know, things like that. And so we're really... It's kind of scary right now, so I hope we can make more money than we project here, but let's put it towards the future.
This is Bruce.
This is Ken with a point of information. Yes. I'm not finding anywhere where community expenses or expenses for community events are listed. So that's why it's really
row
difficult 28 to...
It's row 28 on LaVarne's library.
Row 28 on LaVarne's, okay.
Yeah, I don't have any supporting evidence for that figure for income, though, on this. So I need to get back to y'all on this figure.
And line 12.
Well, I'm going to suggest that because we have audited figures from 2009 and we have audited figures from 2010, that there is documentation for the previous years. And the previous years don't suggest that the current year numbers are all that far off. Okay.
So, Bruce, can I say something?
Sure. Yes, go ahead.
In the community events thing, I think it is really a moot point. You're balancing out the revenue with expenses. If you cut down your projection revenue from community events, you're going to be cutting down your projection for the expenses as well. So it's going to still, come out to the same thing. As long as,
right.
I don't think that's really and I agree with you, as long as the past showed that they were raising the money, I don't think is a big, that big of a deal. I mean, go ahead. $37,000 is less than what they made in previous years anyway. And I just wanted to mention about if there's a surplus, at WPFW, that's how we approach our 2011 budget. We couldn't budget a surplus, but we tried to budget so that there was a possibility of one, and we committed ourselves that any surplus would go to paying off debt and just in reserve and not for anything else. That's how we approached it.
Barbara for the stack.
Yes, Barbara?
Well, I heartily agree with Bill's statement he just made a little while ago about if the station does better, that they need to put money in reserves. And if I'm not mistaken, that's needed everywhere. All of us need to have some kind of a way to collect our reserves again.
Yeah, I agree.
I hope that comment goes in the minutes, by the way. Not necessarily mine, but that the group is agreeing that we need to somehow get some protection for reserves, put in reserves.
Well, if we make a motion, we can do that, but comment shouldn't go in the minutes, otherwise.
Okay.
I would
suggest, Barbara, that you look at maybe what a motion might look like for that, and we will put it into new business, but we can't quite.
Okay, in new business is good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we can't quite run away from the KPFK right now.
Okay,
so in doing some quick math, if we live with $2.8 million in that category, it looks like we end up with a $3.2 million budget for revenue, so we are looking at approximately $250,000 in cuts over the expense budget that's proposed, or maybe $200,000, depending on the level of surplus that we're willing to live with.
I'm confused.
But the figure on LaVon's budget, that is $3,484,000, is now dropped to $3,210,000.
Arlene to the stack.
Okay, let me just make sure that Kim understands what I just said. Do you understand what I just said?
No, I thought the figure was 2.7 or 2.8. That's what I thought.
The figure in listener support is 2.8. The figure in overall revenue is 3.21, and that is figure number 20, because you add in other sources of revenue. And then you get to a total. That total in LaVarne's budget was 3.484. It is now 3.21 up.
Oh, no. We wanted a figure of 2.8 at the bottom, not over $3
million. That's ridiculous.
This is Ken. This is Ken. It's a correction. Tracy's absolutely correct. It's almost exactly what I proposed. 2.8 listener sponsor gives us a total of 3.218 total revenue. because we're not deducting the $14,000 out of community events. We have CPB funding. We have donations. We have other sources of income besides listener support. So we would come in at 3-2.
Arlene, to the stack.
All right, Arlene, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to weigh in with the people that have been talking about reserves. You know, as the person who's trying to manage this network and bring us back to fiscal health, I'm appalled that we don't have a one-month reserve at each unit and some kind of reserve for emergencies. And I think that's what we have to be looking toward. And it looks to me like this possibly might help to take us just a little bit toward that. And hopefully that'll happen at other units too. But really, that is extremely important. All we need is one hurricane or one earthquake, and we are in. We're gone.
Thank you.
Right. That's why we're not predicting more money than we think we'll get. So, okay. So I understand there's a stack. I just want to help move us along so we can get off the phone. So we have expenses in Laverne's budget of 2.84. We're going to need to drop that a bit because we have central services if we don't want to be in a deficit. So at this point, we're going to turn to suggestions to drop the expenses. I know Ken suggested some cuts, so he may have some ideas about where those cuts are going to come from, but it looks like at a minimum, there needs to be $200,000 less spent than we're projecting spending. Since we don't have all the detail on the budget, it makes it a little bit hard to identify those cuts. But that's, let's try to identify what we can cut.
Point of information, on my graph that I turned in, the KPFK 2011 alternative budgets, there's a column AL, and you type in a percentage factor there, and it cuts. It gives you shows you how much you would save. It gives you a new number. That's where I was cutting 15% of the salaries and estimating it would save me $204,000. That's almost everything. Or, you know, well, it isn't really. But I was trying to come in fiscally sound. I'm not sure if I concur that we only have to cut $200,000. But
200 to 250.
Well, okay, but anyhow, you can see the cuts. If you look at column AL and AM, you'll see where I'm proposing cuts. Computer supplies, $2,700. Repairs and maintenance, $3,300. And other administration, $1,500. And the issue is, somebody might say, well, everybody's always, no matter what the cut is you propose, they're going to say, well, I can't do that. I need my Kleenex. And the point is, you know, we all have to make do. You eat at cheaper restaurants. You go to the 99-cent store. You do whatever you have to do to come within budget. You just can't sit there and say, I won't compromise. I have to go buy at Whole Foods. You just have to come up with a solution. And I think part of the fiscal management is, you know, there's always issues you can't deal with. Like you have to, if you have a contract, you have to pay mortgage or rent or taxes and you know, maybe news services, and you're bound by contract.
Sure.
But in other areas where you're just instructed to cut, you start cutting.
Okay.
That's part of management's duty, is to figure out how to cut.
Okay, listen, I have some questions. Who else was on the stack? I heard a couple of people.
Jim on the stack.
Okay, anybody else? Okay, Jim, go ahead.
This may be a bit of a naive question. It's my understanding that there are a number of stations that are that we're not paying their central services over the last couple of years. It's also my understanding that that at some point that would be an account payable to the national office, and I'm getting the impression that in effect has been written off from the stations, and that there's no provision made in any of the budgets from the other stations that deficit owed for past central services non-payments will ever be paid. Is that correct?
Should I speak?
Lavanya, you should answer that.
No, it hasn't been forgiven. It's the, you know, we owe Democracy Now! About $500,000, and Amy's not going to forgive that. So what we had in the budget, initially in the budget, was the bottom line down at the bottom, the payback are toward reducing the payables in the National Office for Democracy Now. So we actually have that, and we have also the HEAT payback on this line at the bottom. It says other equipment. I believe that's the HEAT payback for and that will build toward the reserves for the foundation, because then that would be available for when we would get into dire straits again, if we were to do that. So, yeah, we ideally on our budget, we did have a line in there, and we took it out on some of them. But we do have that was part of my initial budget, was to have that have a payback, and we had structured it coming into the national office like over about like an 18 over like a 24 month, the 30 month period, and so that's real. So thank you for bringing that up, because that is very
Ken to the stack. Sorry.
Who's the other person who just spoke besides Ken?
Bruce.
Okay, I'm going to go
to the point of order.
Okay, yes, go ahead, Bruce.
Well, it just seemed like our last conversation was not on the topic that we're supposed to be discussing, which is how to reduce the expenses on the KPFK budget. So given the time is running down, couldn't we stay on the topic?
Yes. I'm going to address that. Okay, Ken, you wanted to speak, then I'm going to put myself on the stack.
Yeah, I wanted to say again, I was proposing a 15% cut in salaries, in whatever way, layoffs, cut salaries, furlough, part-time. It's not just the salary, it's the benefits too, and I understand there's resistance. But the thing is, 54% of KPFK's budget is salary. That's higher than it should be. It should be less than 50. And there's no way you're going to avoid that. There's no amount. I mean, even though I'm recommending we save up our paper clips and reuse paper and you know, all kinds of methods of economy and, you know, eat less. I put in cuts for the LSB expenses, you know. But we're going to have to cut payroll. We're going to have to cut payroll. And so, you know, if we're going to have a discussion on that, it's going to be... We're going to have to get the payroll rather than just, well, let's buy our paper at Costco. We're going to have
okay.
to cut the payroll.
Okay. This is Tracy. I have a couple of things to say. The first thing I want to say is, since we have cut listener revenue by $225,000 over the amount that is on LaVarne's draft budget, we have also cut central services by 19.5%.
Why?
Because that's money that will not be paid. So that's money that can be removed from the budget, and that amount is $40,000. So I just want to be clear, $40,000 of our cut has already happened in terms of our general expenses and the bottom line. In addition to the other cuts, I want to point to two figures where there's substantial increases from the FY 2010 actual to what we're proposing for the last 6 months of 2011, and I realize that some of that money actually hasn't been spent so far. The first is in the category of development. I want to highlight there's a $71,000 increase over what was spent, and I want to get some clarity on what that $70,000 was anticipated to be. The other one that's substantially different is the payroll, from basically 1.5 to 1.6, about $100,000 in increase. My guess is that $70,000 of that is a GM who was not being paid. I want to see if that's correct, and then I want to ask about the other $30,000 or $40,000 that's sort of being increased. In its entirety, that doesn't address the issue of cuts, but it might get us halfway there if we could clarify those two things.
Came to the end.
Who's going to answer my questions?
Kim to the stack.
Okay, Kim, go ahead.
Well, which lines are you looking at, Tracy? Because what happened is between this budget and the previous budget was stuff was rearranged taken out of certain categories and put in
I'm
other
looking
categories.
At LeBron's budget, 2011-R. I don't care about the categories. I'm just trying to lower the overall expenses. And what I'm saying is right now, the expenses are substantially increased in development. And what is that?
Where do you see what are you looking at are you looking at 2010 407 to the 479 number?
Yes, 407 to 479.
Okay. First of all, categories were taken out of development, so this number is even higher than it would have been had these other categories not come out of development. So this is at a very, very high level of increase.
Yeah. But what does it consist of? What are we spending more money on?
Imaginary items that, you know, we hope we spend.
Such as what?
Well, see if I can get some...
Ken, on that, just to respond. Unless LeVon, can I say something? I don't want to jump the queue. But... Hello? Is anybody there?
Yeah, I'll hear you.
I just want to say, I don't know that Kim can answer that because that's details in the budget that may not have been reported to us.
Don't worry about me.
Maybe LeVon can answer it, but if it's
theoretical. LeVon? LeVon?
Yes, go ahead, LeVon.
Okay. This is what it is. It's the same budget as you said, Tracy, the same budget that was sent out earlier, the exact same. So if you have a copy of that budget, it's there. So what you have is basically they have telemarketing expenses in the budget for 2011, and you don't see it in 10. You have
how much on telemarketing about?
Telemarketing is $15,845.
Okay. Thank you.
I would love to speak to that.
Kim, stop. Let me get the answer to the question.
Thank you.
So what are the other increases? Okay, telemarketing is $15,000. I got that. What else?
Okay, we like you said, they have computer supplies on a separate line this time. So that's the $22,000 higher than the 2010 actual.
Okay.
And then you have direct mail printing.
Thank you.
So you have like these direct mail printing, and you have you have computer supplies. So when you get down to if you look at the direct mail printing, and there's 6,600 in April, 9,000 in July, and then 4,500 in September. So the question is, you know, are these campaigns? This is much higher than it was in the prior year. It's about 17,000 higher. So there, you're going to cut. Perhaps it's not going to be as high as estimated. But again, that's based on their assumptions based on rates and factors. So you know, these could very well be a little higher. But if you look at the month of February, 7,660 was spent. And that was the one direct mail printing. So the question is, why are there three in the second half?
Okay. So I got the telemarketing and I got the direct mail. Is there anything else substantial in development that wasn't there in 2010 that accounts for the upgrade?
You know, it's a slight, you know, it's just like an $8,000 increase in premium. But the big thing is how you have the computer supplies separate. Line separate, and that's the 22 and
30. Right, which is really not a development expense. It's an administrative expense, but, you know, whatever.
You know, that's a project we can work on as the Finance Committee, and I'd like to put that on the agenda sometime later about that project. So that's what it looks like.
Okay.
The telemarketing, the computer supplies is a separate line.
So I have one more question, which is about the payroll upgrade. So with a new GM coming on, we're going to pay that person $70,000. We're not expecting to pay them. And obviously, it's only half the year, so it's going to be more like $35,000. What's the rest of the $110,000 increase?
Okay, you're going to pay
By position.
You're going to pay him for 4 months. So if you look at the expenses, the salaries if you, it's like $100,000 more in the gross salary. So there's a payroll sheet, headcount sheet that's on the full budget. I'll have to pull that up, but let me just look at the other line.
Okay. Here. If you could pull that up, that would be great, because we still have the question of what the other $60,000 or $70,000 is. Kim, you are next on the stack, and we'll wait for an answer on that.
First of all, I'm not sure we should be talking salary amounts on the open call here.
Sorry. You're right.
Telemarketing was one of those off-the-books person who was hired who was not doing telemarketing. She was basically being somebody's secretary.
Okay. Again, that might be ES stuff, but okay.
But she is no longer there. So that whole telemarketing expense will be no longer. That's why it's out. Because
okay.
We didn't
so there's a cut. Okay.
Legitimately have that expense. I mean, that should have been category somewhere else, but it's no longer. It's off the books. And I'm not sure what you were talking about. Computer supplies was taken off administrative and put onto development. And that was one of the changes. And then okay.
Okay.
Something.
But there's a computer maintenance. Not computer supplies.
No, computer supplies, line 6742, was taken off 6742. That was previously on administrative expenses.
Okay. All right. So it seems to me we have a cut for telemarketing. We probably are going to lower the direct mail estimation.
Yeah.
We need to look at the payroll figure. That may well get us about halfway where we need to be, and then we have about another $100,000 hanging out there that we're going to need to cut. And we could potentially just put that in a category and just say, management, you figure it out. This is the budget that you've got. Or we could try to drill down a bit and make some suggestions about how to cut it. Ken, you had suggested salaries, I know, and maybe that's just where the money has to be cut. You also said you were mandating cuts in several other areas, so I'd like to know what those areas are. And I'd also like to know, you said eliminating the Arbitrons.
Yes.
What's the savings from that, and are those numbers that are in here that we can take out?
Well, I had... first of all, I'd heard that KPFK management decided to stop getting the detailed Arbitrons and move to a much more grosser, less granular.
Do you know how much money they saved by doing that?
Probably, I would estimate about $2,000 a week.
No, excuse me,
$2,000 a month.
No, it's about $3,000 a quarter, I think.
No,
$3,000
like,
a quarter.
No, more like $5,000 a quarter.
Right.
Okay, $5,000 a quarter. Levon, can you clarify for me, is that $5,000 a quarter in this budget that you presented?
Let me just look at the assumption sheet.
Yes.
Good.
It's in here. Line, I believe it's line 6694. No, I'm sorry, that's not right.
I'll look at the assumption sheet.
It's line 6701.
Okay, so we got $10,000 there. We got $15,000 in telemarketing. And it seems to me like we have about $5,000 in direct mail because we're not going to send out three more in the next 6 months.
No.
So we cut around $30,000. So we only have about $175,000 to go, guys.
Okay, in terms of the rest of these are, this is Ken, the ones I'm suggesting are small chains, they have to add up. But the biggest one I have is computer supplies. I'm cutting by 30%, would give me $2,700.
Okay, what else you got?
And then other programming, I'm cutting by 10,000. Other programming expenses, which I just cut to, it was running its budget at $150 a month, except for a couple of big bucks in there.
which I don't know what they're for. So I think they were just to pay people off for something, or, you know, for special performances or something. So I just made it $150 a month. That saves me $10,000. In other words,
wow.
In the budget, there's $10,000 of large $2,000 payments on other programming expenses. I don't know what that is. It's not defined anywhere. It's just
okay,
other
well,
expenses.
You know, we're talking about people's jobs, so if we can save on that.
But this is not a job. This would be...
I know. That's what I'm saying. And some non-job cuts are a good thing.
Yeah, so there's $10,000 there. That's the GL item is $6,701.
Got it.
And the programming services is $6,694. And I, well, that's gone. I think that's gone because I couldn't see any justified expenses when I looked at the Great Plains reports.
No, that is gone. That is gone.
That's
we won't
gone.
Have.
Okay, great. And no, it was still okay. You're at right. It is not in the next budget. I'm sorry, I take that back. There's $8,000. No, there's nothing. That's already gone, right? The direct
yep.
mail. Okay. I'm trying to see. Oh, I was cutting the fund drive expenses. Now, fund drive expenses are. I'm just cutting them by 50%. I believe what we're paying for in fund drive expenses is food and people to serve it. That's what is coming in the category of fund drive expenses. If we're going to economize, I'll say, well, you got to get more donated food and volunteers to serve it.
How
but
much are you
cutting it by 50%? Give me $6,500.
Okay, so it's $13,000 is what's budgeted, and you're cutting that to $6,500.
Yeah.
Which food?
No, I was cutting it to, you know, I'm cutting 50% of the last 6 months.
Right.
So it had, I don't know what, it had been like 4,500.
Okay,
was
so you're
budgeted.
Cutting 6,000 there. Okay, I think that's reasonable. What else are you cutting, if anything?
A little nickel dime stuff. The big one, repairs and maintenance. The thing on that is, it's being a little bit difficult for us to discover whether or not we're just having contracts for easy access for people. It looks like they're contracts. In fact, it's $49.55 a month, okay? And I don't know what that's for, and it's hard to find out. I don't know what they were paying for a fee of $49.55 a month to do, am I at the right line? Yeah, repairs and maintenance. So I cut that by 10%, which gives me $3,303. It's kind of, you know, silly for me to say it, but, I mean, it's got to be investigated and cut. I don't know what that is. My whole thing might go.
That's not unreasonable. Okay. So that's $3,000.
Okay. Bill.
So basically, you're giving me about so we're up to about $52,000 in non-salary cuts. That's good.
Well, okay.
Is there anything else, Ken? And I hear you on the staff, Bill. Is there anything else?
No, the only other thing is, in talking about, if you look at the full-time equivalents and the producers and the board ops.
Okay, yeah, no, that's
you've got to look at the staff and decide.
Okay.
But, again, it's really management's job. I think the most appropriate thing
okay.
to say, we want you to cut, you know, look historically.
Okay. I got it.
Payroll.
I got it. Okay. Bill, you're on the stack.
Okay, yeah, I'm not sure how this relates to KPFA exactly, but I know we have under other programming expenses, I believe at KPFT, for example, we pay PRI, Public Radio International, for BBC primarily and for This American Life, and some of us have been concerned because it's the income's not matching the expenses. So if it's something like that, if it's a syndicated show that you're paying for, you know, we got plenty of free stuff that you could replace it with, for example, and it wouldn't cost anybody any jobs either. So I support cutting that if you're paying for any shows at all. Did you say you were paying for meals for fund drives? Was that what it was?
Yes.
Okay.
Well,
just nothing we do at KPFT.
It looks like.
Okay. Well, we get food for our volunteers for fund drive too, but 100% of it's donated and. You know, you got to get somebody to make some calls to local restaurants, but we haven't had trouble finding restaurants to do that. As long as there's somebody to make the calls to get them organized, and then usually somebody has to go pick them up
But we get more than enough food to feed all our Fund Drive volunteers that way.
That's right.
Okay. Every day during Fund Drive.
Sounds good. Okay, so basically what we have here is about $52,000 in cuts that are non-salary, which is great. And we need to get to about another $148,000 or $150,000.
Wow.
So, Levon, have you had a chance to dig up the headcount?
I'm sorry, I found the Arbitrons, I'm sorry, and they were paying $52.95 a quarter, and so they cut it down, so they cut it down about $3,000 a quarter, as I stated. So they haven't completely cut it out. They just cut out in terms of the package they were receiving.
Okay. So in the rest of the year we're saving about $5,000. Okay, so I have to subtract.
Yeah.
All right. So make it more like $45,000 that we're saving. Okay. All right. So I'm just going to take a quick look through the KPFK financials so far and see where we were spending less than we projected in substantial amounts, because those may be hints about money that we're not spending.
Right. Good.
And if the station's not spending it and it's in the budget, that's an easy cut to make. Okay, so they are spending a little less in salaries than projected, only $20,000 less.
I think that was going on. Guess we can drop them out.
Okay, so associations and periodicals. Interest is less than we thought. Yeah, the office supply expenses are considerably less than was budgeted. So that cut shouldn't actually pain anybody because they are spending less than was budgeted. Utilities are a bit lower. Should be okay. Maintenance is a bit lower. So most of the cuts that Ken is suggesting have sort of been made already. In other words, they are spending less than budgeted so far this year. So those shouldn't cause any significant pain because they're kind of happening already. They are spending more on other programming expenses, so that one will fall. Yeah, the printing subscriptions is already down. And the premiums are somewhat less. And the $6,000 advertising and promotional budget isn't being spent.
Tracy?
Right. Okay. Yes, Kim.
Okay, I'm looking at our original budget. And I see what the original budget for was 1,691,408 for salaries.
Yeah.
So this seems to have grown.
No, it shrunk. It shrunk. The figure that's being proposed is 1.603.
It's billing
it. In your current budget, it's 1.603.
Oh, God. You know, I'm confused now.
Okay. All right. So I'm thinking that we may be in a place where we have to get the salaries down to something between 1.45 and 1.5 rather than the 1.6 that they're currently on.
So you're talking about for the rest of the year. You're looking at these numbers and splitting them in half, right?
Yeah. So the question that I have is how much of that 1.6 was GM salary that was anticipated to be paid?
None. It's not in there yet.
in your 2010-2011 budget the PNB didn't pass, you didn't budget a GM at all?
I don't remember now. Let me.
Kim, if you don't know the answer, maybe we can let LaVarne answer.
Well,
LaVarne, is a GM salary in the 2011 budget?
I'm sorry, I was muted. We have in this sheet here, we have at the last 6 months a GM. I mean, it has a different name on here, but there's a GM in there for the last 6 months.
6 months, okay.
Yeah.
So 2 months of that we're not going to have to pay, which is glorious.
Actually, last 7 months, yeah.
Is it six or seven?
Seven. But 1 month is already, that month, well, you know, in the budget, there's only 6 months left, so.
Yay, there's $17,500 right there.
You know what? Should we move into executive session since we're talking about salaries and cuts and stuff like that?
We are on the edge of executive session, but I think there are a couple more things that we can do here.